Produced by Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier and Wayne Hall, this is Yes Music Podcast episode 405. The new Yes album, From a Page. Our views.
This is Bill Bruford, the ever-enthusiastic young drummer from the group Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 405 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host, Mark Anthony Kay, will be along a little bit later on. You can always get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site yesmusicpodcast.com. First of all, this week, we need to take a moment to remember in our thoughts and prayers, if you do that kind of thing, the Sherwood family at this time of loss for them. I added to the YMP Facebook page Jimmy Horn's recollections of Billy's brother Michael, who died this week at only a few years older than me. He will be terribly missed, I'm sure, by friends and family. Preston Frazier shared Billy's Facebook post and remarks that he had the honour of interviewing Michael a while back. This week, Mark and I give our in-depth view of the new Yes album, or EP if you prefer, From a Page. After our fantastic interview with Oliver Wakeman last week, it was even more interesting to listen carefully to the music he talked so engagingly about. We also have a copy of the CD mini box set to give away, courtesy of Sharon at the Publicity Connection, and the winner is revealed later in this episode. But before all that, we haven't had any updates from the social webs for a couple of weeks, so here's the latest. On the YMP Facebook page, Keith Hoisington spotted Jeff Downes doing a self-shot video about the new live album from his Downes Braid Association project. They're also playing live at Trading Boundaries next year, and we'll have more on DBA next week. But speaking of that emporium, i.e. Trading Boundaries, the ever-generous Nick Moyart has recently visited to see the Roger Dean artwork, and he sent some fantastic pictures along. They're in the show notes for this week's episode. Nick also added, "We got to the TB by 10:30 Friday the 1st of November, and we were welcomed by Michael Clifford. Roger wasn't there. It was amazing to see the painting up close and bigger than a vinyl size. Michael Clifford is the director of the TB and was very kind to speak to me and my family, amazed to know that my very young children were Yes fans already and were going along to the Royal Albert Hall concert next year. He showed me a new project from Roger Dean that offers a limited edition of certain paintings you can add your own little design to. For example, on the CTTE2 painting, he was commissioned to add an Asian temple. He shared a story about the Isle of Man stamps where they needed Buckingham Palace royal assent, and Roger got a letter addressed to him by the Queen just saying, yes. There were some paintings not just from Yes albums, but Asia too. We were there for nearly 2 hours and it was amazing. As a Yes fan, it will be a great souvenir for me." So many thanks indeed, Nick. A great family event, certainly. Mark posted the cover of 90125 this week as it celebrates its 36th release anniversary, and Dave Watkinson added some pictures of a new installation at John Anderson's hometown of Accrington. There's a new granite stone information display, which includes John, as well as Dave goes on to tell us, some of the other Accrington famous names celebrated, such as Ron Hill, the long-distance marathon runner, many cricketers, including David Lloyd and Mike Atherton of England, plus John Rex Winifield, the inventor of Terraline, which is polyester. A remarkable bunch, and some of you may know that cricketer and now pundit and commentator David Bumble Lloyd played football against John Anderson in the back streets and fields of Accrington when they were both very young. Preston Frazier has reached Finally From the Ladder, a song I've always really liked, and his copies of From a Page arrived, as they did at Chateau Anthony Kay as well. Daniel Crone posted the Yes show from Hamilton, Ontario 11 years ago, and he also included his views of the new slash old Yes material, but also includes the song Aliens, which was developed around the same time and performed live by the band in 2008, 28 times. It's included on that video that Daniel posted. It was reworked by Chris Squire, as you may know, on his Steve Hackett collaboration Squack It, but has yet to have a Yes release of its own. In the visitor posts, Jeffrey Mason. He added many Rick Wakeman items, including a video of him jamming with Derek Smalls via satellite. You need to see that one. It's either much too short or much too long, depending on your point of view. Jeffrey also managed to find German and Prog Report, and that'll be our own Jeff Bailey, of course, reviews of From a Page, as well as the news that the BBC election coverage this year will feature the original theme music, and that's Rick Wakeman's Arthur, in a newly remixed version. Gosh. Jeffrey also spotted A Prog Christmas by Purple Pyramid, with Billy Sherwood producing Many, Many People You Know in an unusual and fun version of a Christmas album. Just imagine these folks, as well as others, doing Christmas classics. John Davison, Steve Morse, Annie Haslam, Billy himself, Patrick Mraz, Martin Turner, Malcolm McDowell, and Jeff Downes. It sounds like a madcap scheme, but when I tell you that, for example, Downes is playing the Charlie Brown Christmas theme on this CD, I'm sure you'll agree that sanity reigns. Tony Handley is going to look marvellous in his new YMP t-shirt, and he also showed off his copies of From a Page. Finally, in the Visitor Posts, Paul Graff says, I really enjoy listening to YMP. Recently, I've been listening to other educational podcasts trying to learn a foreign language. It really helps to learn proper pronunciation if you listen to the podcast at half speed. I noticed if I don't change the speed back to 1x and leave it at half time speed, Kevin sounds just like Chris Squire. Check it out. Kind of fun. So, glad to hear I'm channeling the master there, Paul. Steve Perry put in a vote for a different album to be reviewed on the YMP. He says, Hi Mark and Kevin. I was thinking of another Yes-related album that either of you may not have heard. It's Kitaro's 1992 album Dream. John Anderson provides vocals on three long tracks, and I've always enjoyed it quite a bit. It's quite new agey, and in many ways feels like a John Anderson solo album. If you've not heard it, I recommend you do give it a listen. Cheers. Definitely on the list, Steve. Brady Queen spotted Oliver Wakeman and Barclay James Harvest posing in full Tormato style next to Yes Tour. No, really. And Glenn Alexson sent this message. Just listening to new music from Yes and John Anderson collaborator Roine Stolt's band The Flower Kings. I really loved From a Page. To the Moment is my favourite track. It has beautiful vocals from Benoit, great Wakeman Oliver keyboards, Steve Howe's guitar and the legendary Squire bass and voice that just about brings tears to your eyes. It's wonderful to hear him on new music. I also like Benoit's lower register vocals on Yes Music. It brings a dimension to it we've never heard before. A pleasant surprise indeed. Thanks always for thoughtful Yes Music conversation. And thank you, Glenn. Mark Lang also sent an email. Firstly, I must say what a great couple of weeks of interviews. I think Oliver should come back as it sounded like he could talk for ages about Yes and many other things. The new album is just incredible and I've not been able to stop playing it. The fact that it is short is the only frustrating thing, but I have made myself a little playlist which goes like this. 1. To the Moment. 2. Don't Take No for an Answer. 3. From the Turn of a Card. 4. The Man You Always Wanted Me to Be. 5. Words on a Page. 6. Hour of Need. 7. Life on a Film Set. 8. The Gift of Love. 9. Solitaire. And 10. Into the Storm. Anyone else done anything similar? I think it works very well, and if only. So, lots to enjoy and agree with there, Mark. Over on Twitter, there were far too many updates about the new album and other things to mention here, so I'll have to leave you to explore that yourself. So, as always, thank you very much indeed to everyone who's been in touch recently, including those who left comments on the show notes for the past few weeks. If you are one of the lucky people who have won something in our epic competition, we're still collating all the prizes, but things will be with you as soon as possible. Finally, just before my thoughts on From a Page, here's Yes author Stephen Lamb.
Hi guys, Stephen here, just checking in again with a couple of points following the great interview you did with Oliver Wakeman last week. Great to hear Oliver in such good form and in such good spirits. What I wanted to do really was to draw people's attention to the Ravens and Lullabies album that Oliver did with Gordon Giltrap in 2012. Oliver mentioned it in passing, but I think if you enjoy his piano playing in particular, you'll really love this album. And I know Mark is a great fan of his piano playing. I do realise that you'll probably get to it eventually when you cover Oliver in your What Did They Do Next strand. But as there's still quite a few twists and turns to come, I think, before you get onto Oliver, it's worth mentioning now. The album's still widely available, I think. You can get it on Amazon and in other places. The other thing to say about it is that, as well as some very charming sort of acoustic tracks, There's also a fair few full band tracks with lead vocals by Paul Manzi, who some of you may know from his work with the progressive rock band Arena. It demonstrates how good Oliver's songwriting is, but also there are some very Yes-y moments, particularly some very, very fine keyboard playing from Oliver. And some very good electric guitar playing from Gordon. We don't hear him play electric very often these days. So that is definitely worth checking out. I know Oliver referred to it in passing, but I'm just urging people to check out a copy if you can. And what's the interest in the Yes tracks on the new album are at the forefront of people's minds. So that's my first point. The second thing I wanted to talk about very briefly was just to mention the Ravens and Lullabies tour that Oliver referred to, again, in passing, rather. There were two of them. One was with him and Gordon going out as a duo with an occasional contribution from Paul Manzi on vocals. And the second one was a live electric tour, which happened in 2014. The background to that was that I had the pleasure of promoting a couple of the acoustic gigs. And at one of those, I got to chatting to Oliver, and it became very clear that he wanted to do some live gigs. So I invited him to play my festival, the Summer Zen Festival, at the end of 2013. So Oliver went away and put together a live band, which comprised him and Gordon, another guitarist called Nick, and Paul Manzi on vocals again, plus also Johan and Steve, who are the rhythm section from the band Threshold. Again, they may be familiar to some listeners. The Summer's End appearance was a great success. Everybody enjoyed it, particularly Gordon. So there was some appetite to do some more of them. So Oliver and I got together and we put together a little tour in April 2014 with me acting as tour manager. It was great fun. Some gigs were better than others, as is always the case, but we kind of bonded as a unit, I think. We even had a guest appearance from John Wetton, the late John Wetton, of course, from King Crimson and Asia at one of the gigs in Poole in Dorset. So it was great to meet him. So there you go. Just a little bit of detail, and use that as you see fit or not. Thinking about it might be better when you actually discuss the Ravens and Lullabies album in about 3 years' time. Anyway, I hope you guys are well, and more news on Dave Watkinson's book, probably not this week, maybe next week. Fingers crossed, you guys will be the first to know. Anyway, so speak to you later. Bye.
Hello, this is Roger Dean, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast. Allegedly.
This new official Yes album, or EP if you prefer, will inevitably be compared with not only 2011's Fly From Here, because the songs were developed at the same time as the material on that album, 2018's Fly From Here Return Trip, because that's pretty much the same album with an additional song and different lead vocals, and 2014's Heaven and Earth, because of the unintentional happenstance of the chronology of release dates. All of that could be interesting and worthwhile, but what we're going to focus on, at least initially, is what the music actually sounds like to our ears and how it fits as an official part of the Yes discography. Like Fly From Here, the ABWH album, Dylan Howe's Yes Remixes album, and Fly From Here Return Trip, From a Page is now featured on yesworld.com. So it's Yes canon, part of the overall Yes opus, and so needs to be listened to in that context. Some commentators have criticised the length of material here, 26 minutes on the CD version as opposed to 41 minutes on Fragile, and 47 minutes 28 on Fly From Here. And the inclusion of From the Turn of a Card, which was released as a different version by Oliver Wakeman previously. Others have been annoyed that the CD version doesn't include the single edit of To the Moment, which is only available on the vinyl album, and others still have been upset by the necessity to repurchase Live from Lyon as the only way to get hold of the CD, which is available exclusively as part of the full mini box set. However, you can't please everyone all the time, and I have to say that I'm absolutely delighted with both the mini box set and the vinyl version. I'm not going to go into depth on the production of the new old songs, because our interview with the delightful Oliver Wakeman covered a lot of that ground last week, so I'm just going to enjoy listening and share a bit about my reactions to what seems to be a wonderful glimpse into what could have been for the band. The first song was chosen to be the representative of the collection. It was edited into a single version and released as one of those newfangled lyric videos on YouTube, where it prompted some very appreciative reactions. To the Moment, in its full 6-minute, 13-second format, begins with a great Yes sound, which mixes fabulous Hammond tones with full band as it sets up an irresistible groove, erring towards the heavier end of the Yes spectrum from this time period, a tiny little bit like Into the Storm on Fly From Here. When the keyboard washes Enter, though, it takes on a bit of a softer edge for a moment, but then there's a fantastic classic-sounding Steve Howe electric solo and some atmospheric shifts to introduce Benoit David's vocals. It's an instantly attractive and intricately textured soundscape, with white drums and squire bass making it all unmistakably Yes music. The chorus is absolutely sumptuous. Catchy and suffused with backing Yes choir, it's definitely an earworm, and I do indeed find myself humming it around the house. If you wanted to be hypercritical, the first phrase is perhaps a tiny bit too sugar-coated, but I think this will dissipate over repeated listens. The music swings in a true Yes fashion, and you can't help nodding your head and tapping your toe to the beat. Benoit is doing a great job leading the vocals, and it's wonderful to hear that squire bass again in a new piece. While not necessarily very obvious, Alan White's drumming is perfect, and Steve Howe is in full hero rock soloing mode at various points. Oliver breaks out the Moog to combine with other keyboards, creating a tapestry of positive music. The layered vocals, and I think Benoit accompanies himself at times, and the return of the huge chorus create lovely moments. For me, this song feels like Yes, and why shouldn't it? It's all topped off by a scintillating Oliver Wakeman Moog solo, which proves he has inherited his father's fleet-fingered tendencies. I would buy this box set simply for that 37 seconds. And yes, I have timed it, of soloing, if I wasn't already absolutely connected to the many other compelling aspects of the piece. As others have mentioned, this full version of the song is very much superior to the single edit, which, again, I suppose is in the grand tradition of Yes singles. Words on a Page is next, and it's actually longer than the first song. This one begins with some acoustic guitar and piano work, which is very pleasant. Benoit's vocals are strong and well-shaped to express the tender and interesting theme of the lyrics. There are a few Howe characteristic curlicues, and then the chorus appears brilliantly supported by a lovely sonorous squire bass line. The quality of the piano accompaniment continues, as does the bass line. Some have criticised the lyrics, but I think they work well as Yes words. It has a stripped-down Yes acoustic feel. Again, there's that Wakeman DNA, and you could easily believe this is Wakeman Sr. White's drums are recorded beautifully and it sounds like a full band collaboration. I know some have said that this is forgettable music, but I can't agree. I think it's easily worth its place in the Yes canon. Howe turns up the intensity with a great sliding electric steel solo, I think, which includes a rendition of the main theme. It's immersive and feels like much older music at times, which is a good thing. Some additional vocal backing parts from Steve Howe add another layer in the final chorus, and then Oliver completes the piece with an effective and slightly unusual sounding solo piano epilogue. It's a really good piece. From the Turn of a Card is another song which has been singled out for criticism because it was created at the same time as the others, but is the only one which has seen the light of day on Oliver Wakeman and Gordon Giltrap's Ravens and Lullabies album in 2013. It's a relatively short piece with Benoit David's vocals and a new accompaniment by Oliver Wakeman. Wakeman's piano part is again beautifully crafted, and Benoit sounds almost completely different to the rest of his vocals on the album. It's lower and with a very different timbre. That's not to say unattractive, it's just different. I think those are Oliver's own backing vocals, maybe, and the imagery in the lyrics is effective, but again, very different from the other pieces. It's an attractive palate cleanser and still a substantial piece, not a throwaway item for me. It has a lilting attractiveness, and I would be happy to listen to it repeatedly as part of this collection, which I can't say about all Yes music. So, finally, we reach The Gift of Love, the longest song of the four at just under 10 minutes. Immediately, it has some of the hallmarks of music from, wait for it, Heaven and Earth. It's a general feel and doesn't extend to the rather different Moog playing by Oliver, but the drums, bass shapes and the keyboard chords are reminiscent of that other album. When the vocal line comes in, it's a bit weird to hear that when Howe takes over vocal duties and the chord changes kick in, we could be deep inside the Heaven and Earth material. Simon Barrow even tweeted the following from his Yes Solid Mental Twitter account. He says, "I'm struck by the various musical echoes of Heaven and Earth material in the Gift of Love track on Yes's new/old from a Page album. It's clear that ideas from the earlier Wakeman sessions were taken, consciously or unconsciously, into the later H&E ones. Well, that's exactly my reaction as well, Simon. However, there are great swathes of this song which are much more stylistically similar to and suggestive of the other songs from this album than Heaven and Earth. Just when you forget the association, Howe reappears with another electric guitar passage, which could be an outtake from Heaven and Earth, or perhaps the other way round. That's not a criticism. It gives the song an extra layer of authenticity. It's a complex and very well-arranged song, which although isn't in anything approaching a 1970s Yes aesthetic, is still very enjoyable and maybe blends a ladder-era feel with Fly From Here and, well, Heaven and Earth. Once again, I think it's got hooks and is memorable. The ending features more exquisite Wakeman piano work, and the Oliver Wakeman-Steve Howe combination is something I really hope we will get to hear again. Alan White is at his best here as well, not over-elaborating, but the energy and invention is definitely still present. So you'll be wanting me to finish by saying how this album or EP stands up to others, particularly Heaven and Earth and Fly From Here. Well, as I can't actually listen to some of Heaven and Earth, you can probably guess my feelings between that and this. As for Fly From Here, I enjoy that album a lot. I've heard others saying that From a Page needs to be seen as a kind of companion piece to the 2011 album, which was taken on by Trevor Horn, and I think that's a really good idea.
Greetings, friends. So this week we're going to be doing something that a lot of you have been hoping that we were going to do, and that is review the four new songs from the new Yes release entitled From a Page. Now, as usual, this will probably end up going the way it usually does as far as reviews goes, that Kevin will give you the very insightful, in-depth look at each song, and I will give you sort of my overview of the whole thing and sort of the, you know, man-on-the-street musician sort of approach to it. So, where to start? Let me just start with this, that I was extremely excited when this first came out. I had no idea that there was any sort of this material lying in wait for us to hear. So when it was announced, the surprise was very big, at least for me. This is an era of Yes that I really enjoyed, to be honest with you. I thought that when Oliver was with the band, the keyboard area was in very good hands. Oliver's a fantastic keyboard player, very much a chip off the old block. And whenever you hear him playing songs like Heart of the Sunrise or South Side of the Sky, you can definitely hear his father's touch on a lot of these keyboard parts, especially on the piano. I find that his piano style is very much similar to his father's, which I think is fantastic because I've always said that I thought that Rick's biggest strength is in his piano playing. And that also comes through on a lot of these songs on this EP that we got. So without any sort of further delay, let's get into the songs. So there's four songs on this. Well, actually five if you count the single edit, but it's technically four songs, the first song being To the Moment, second song is Words on a Page, third song is From the Turn of a Card, and the fourth song is The Gift of Love. Now, the first time I heard To the Moment, I was instantly hooked. It has a chorus that's very memorable, and even the very opening guitar and keyboard line, that it's very simple but very catchy. I still find myself sometimes when I'm going outside, maybe walking my dog or just doing some, you know, regular errands of the day, I find myself humming that part quite often and even singing that kind of chorus line. I find myself singing along and humming quite a bit. So this was a very smart choice for first single, I think. And for once, I have to say that the actual single edit of this song was very well done. My hat's off to Oliver on this, because in the past we did a very extensive look on Yes singles, and a lot of the times we were kind of critical of the edits that were made on some of these songs. Of course, some of them are very difficult to make a proper edit of. I mean, how do you make a radio edit of And You and I or something that long? But this song, even though it is so lengthy in its full version, the 4-minute version of To the Moment is very good. I mean, I was very comfortable with the way it sounded at 4 minutes, and when I heard the full version, it was just, you were getting so much more of a great thing, I thought. Now, the next song, Words on a Page, is really strong, I think, as well. It starts off with a fantastic acoustic guitar and piano sort of duet. And I have to say that one of the great strengths, again, on this record is Oliver's piano playing. And also, I have to say that every member of the band is in really fine form on this. I mean, Chris Squire's bass playing is fantastic on this. Very melodic, very well thought out. Steve Howe's guitar playing is incredible, well done, very thought out as well. His tone of his guitar is really good. I mean, I've sometimes had issue with some of his guitar tones, but this is not a time like that. I really like the sound of his guitar on this recording. Also, it's very nice to hear Alan White when he had a lot of strength still in his playing at this time and was a very creative drummer still at this time. Benoit David, I think that his singing is fantastic. One of my big stickler points about this whole thing is that I find that overall they were so nicely gelled as a band, and Benoit's singing is so well done on this that why these songs were left off what would have been most likely songs for Fly From Here, it's a real head scratcher. I mean, okay, let's be honest, it's not a head scratcher. We know why it was left off, because when Trevor Horn got involved with this fully, because initially, from what I understood, he was only going to be involved with Fly From Here, the song, which ended up being Fly From Here, the epic, and then that would have been it. But then they got him involved with the whole record, and we all know what happened from there. I think it's a case of him kind of overstepping his boundaries as a producer and kind of saying, you know what, let's get this Oliver guy out of here. Let's bring, you know, my good buddy Jeff in here, and we'll give you some really strong songs that we've done together, and we'll make a fantastic album out of it. And I think that that was just a really crappy thing to do. You know, I just don't know how else to phrase it other than that. And because to me, I don't know, you guys might disagree, but I think songs like A Life on a Film Set could have easily been dropped for a song like To the Moment or even Words on a Page. And why they decided to keep that song instead, I mean, it's not a stronger song. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. It is not a stronger song. And I always thought that the producer's role is to make a record that's the strongest that they can make as a group. And I don't think that he did that for them in this instance. So enough of my soapboxing. Let's get off the soapbox and get back to the other songs. Now, From the Turn of a Card is a song that very much surprised me in many ways. One, because it was such a simple song in construction, very much piano, guitar here and there, and voice. Now, Benoit David sings in a very different register on this song than he does on some of the other ones. Obviously, from the story that we read in the liner notes, this song was written and later recorded by Benoit for a totally different album. So there was no need for him to try to impersonate a sort of Yes-style voice, i.e. John Anderson. So he used maybe a voice that was more natural for him to sing in. And I gotta say, I really enjoyed this tone of voice. I think it would have been beneficial for him as a singer to have used this voice more often. Yeah, I know there probably would have been some comments from Yes fans that, oh, he doesn't sound like a Yes singer, he doesn't sound like John, or blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think that that voice still suited the music, and it suited the song. And that, to me, is more important than whether he sounds like John Anderson or not. And I think also that if he would have stuck to maybe using a little bit more of this voice in conjunction with the Yes-style voice, I'm using the air quotes when I say that, he probably would have kept his voice in better condition for a lot longer than he did, because let's face it, singing in that high register is not easy, and when you're doing lengthy tours, it does put some strain on the old vocal cords. So overall, I think the song is very well done. It's not very long. It's like a 3.5-minute song, but it's to the point. Everything is there, a fantastic verse and chorus. The piano playing, this song just kind of, you know, puts the icing on the cake as far as what I said earlier about Oliver being a fantastic piano player. If you can't hear the fantastic playing in this song, then you need to get your hearing checked. Just incredible stuff. And, you know, I can definitely hear his father again in the playing that he does on this song. Just marvelous work overall. Now, last we come to The Gift of Love. Now, this song is credited to the whole band, so obviously they've all had input on this song. And I have to say that this song is probably one of my favorites off of this. It definitely shows how well they were gelled as a band at this point. And I know that this was something that Steve Howe was very adamant about before they started recording. I think they went in at the right time. to do these songs, and this song is a prime example of that. Everything in this song is at its best, I think. Like, Oliver's playing is fantastic. His selection of tones on this song is just brilliant. I love his Moog sounds. I love his piano sounds. I love everything that he does on keyboard on this song and on this whole recording, to be honest with you. There's a lot of great guitar playing on here, a lot of great slide stuff. There's even some dobro on here, which is great to hear again. Steve is very good on the acoustic side of stuff when it comes to guitar, and it definitely needs to be put into song more often. I think if they're going to be making a new record, he should keep that in mind. Bring out the dobro, do some more of that stuff. It definitely has a very Yes flair to it. Chris Squire's bass playing again, just incredible. And to hear his voice in amongst the backing vocals is very haunting, and just something that, unfortunately, is something that's going to be missed in future recordings. But, you know, Billy Sherwood, I think, is doing a stellar job on the bass end and even on the vocal end of stuff. So I don't think that there's going to be too big of a gap for that sort of stuff in Yes songs in the future. I think Billy will cover that nicely. But on this song, Chris Squire at his very finest. Alan's drumming is great. Lots of power, lots of fantastic fills. And again, it's not a very upbeat song. It's kind of a very slower, mid-tempo-ish sort of song. But every note is hit with authority. Every note is hit with a reason, with a purpose. And it just really adds to the feel of the song. I mean, one of the things that immediately jumped out at me when I heard these songs is that all of them have a definite feel to them. All of them definitely sound like well-constructed songs that were thought out, like from beginning to end. There's nothing weak about these songs whatsoever. So when I was done listening to the four songs the first time, the first thing that came into my mind was, no, please don't let this be it. I want to hear more. I was so happy with these songs. I've been listening to these four songs over and over again for days. So I think this is a fantastic release. And I think that Yes, unfortunately, are going to have a little bit of a, how do I phrase this? They're going to have to really sit down and think hard and put their thinking caps on and really work on writing some material that's equal to or better than this. I think they have it in them to do it. And hey, here's a little radical suggestion. Why not bring in Oliver on the writing? I mean, if you're not going to bring him in as a member of the band, nothing says that you can't bring him in as a writer for future Yes material, because obviously he has it in him. These are probably some of the best Yes songs I've heard in a very, very long time. So why not have him involved in future stuff? I think that it would work out to our benefit. Could you imagine Oliver, Billy Sherwood, and Steve Howe all sitting in a room together writing music and then bringing in John Davison to add in the vocals and stuff? I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. But you never know what's happening within the confines of a band as far as, you know, business and all the little things that we don't know about. So, you know, hopefully there's nothing going on that could prevent that. You know, who knows if it's even on their mind or not, who knows. But again, enough with my soapboxing and with my little rants here. Overall, if I could give this an 11 out of 10, I would. I know technically that's not possible, but to me, this is a 10 out of 10. I love this recording. I got the vinyl bundle, so I have a vinyl copy of this. Plus I got it on CD. And I mean, if this was even available on 8-track, I would get it on 8-track. That's how much I love it. So if you don't own this, you really need to get it. Let's just put it this way. I think it's probably some of the best Yes stuff you'll ever hear. And I'm just going to leave with one more comment. When I heard Words on a Page and Even from the Turn of a Card, those are two songs that I kind of get the feeling that they could have been put on an album like Going for the One. For some reason, they sound like songs that could have easily fit on a record like that. And one more thing, I definitely think that these four songs should have been on Fly From Here. I'm just going to leave it at that. You already know my opinion on why I think it's not there, but I think it's a crime that this is not on Fly From Here. You know, the crime has been lessened that we now actually have it available for us to listen to and enjoy. Enough of my babbling. Let's get over to Kevin, and I'm sure we'll chat about this a lot more.
Our thoughts about From a Page, studio tracks plus In the Present, Live from Leon. At least that's what it says on the front of the mini box set. And Mark is with me now. Hello, Mark.
Hello there, Kevin. How are you?
Very well. And how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. We had our first snowfall today.
Excellent. Oh, I love hearing about the weather. It's brilliant. So we haven't got that far. It's just a bit sort of cold. And actually, it's quite nice looking behind me at the moment. So we're in a better position than you from that anyway.
Yes.
But back to From a Page. Now, this was great, wasn't it? What a great surprise. How on earth did they keep this under their hats and then suddenly just release it?
Yeah, I'm telling you, in the day now of where we have internet and nothing can be kept secret for more than 5 minutes, it seems, my hat's off to Oliver and the associated people that they kept it under wraps for this long and sprung it on us. I mean, I think the biggest thing that everybody was shocked about is once they announced it, the even bigger shock was the fact that it was immediately available to purchase.
I know, and not just immediately available to purchase, but dispatched the same day. I mean, in just a few minutes dispatched. So, I mean, it shows you that you can actually do this. And that was something I wanted to talk to you about, the fact that this is not on a label. And much like Fly From Here Return Trip wasn't on a label, this is on sort of Yes's own label, as it were. And so they've done it themselves and produced it beautifully themselves, and with all that fabulous Roger Dean artwork and the quality of the materials that they've used. And we'll come back to the packaging and so on of that a little bit later on. But yeah, the way that they've fulfilled those orders, I mean, if you think about how Pledge Music just had such a dreadful time producing stuff, and John Anderson's self-published albums have been really patchy in the way that they've been put out there. But this was brilliant. And they must, as I said to you, was it last week? I can't remember. They must have had them literally all boxed up, ready to go.
Yeah.
on the day. Just fantastic. And that just shows you what you can do self-producing stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's... you know, I think it kind of kicked up everything a level. It kind of showed those kind of companies like the Pledge Musics and the Kickstarters that, you know, they need to step up their game a bit when it comes to this kind of stuff, because, you know, they proved that this can be done. You know, you can announce it, get it out and rolling, you know, all in the same day that you announce it.
Yeah. So hats off to Burning Shed and to Yes Management and everybody else who's been involved with this. It's a really brilliant job they've done. And one little funny thing that I noticed on the vinyl copy, I've got the vinyl and the mini box set, as you might imagine, as you have, I think, haven't you?
Yes.
On the spine of the vinyl, it says Yes From a Page. And then at the bottom, it says Yes 002 LP. Which I was fascinated by, just from a purely geeky point of view. So I'm imagining that Fly From Here Return Trip was Yes 001 LP officially.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is that they've left us lots of space, haven't they? So not Yes 2 LP. So we've only got the capacity of 9 new ones. They've actually left us the ability to have 999 releases, which would be rather nice, wouldn't it? But no, just a bit of fun. But yes, clearly, I think, well... What do you think? Do you think they're going to follow suit with this? I mean, this has clearly gone very well. Do you think they are still in a position where they can release the new Yes album, which we're going to talk about a bit later as well? The brand new one, not this, not From a Page, but the one that they're working on currently. Are they going to release that on a label or like this?
That's a very tricky question. I mean, how this went can give a band like Yes very, you know, optimistic view on doing it alone, right? Because obviously it went very well. Everybody's jumped on it. Lots of people are still, you know, looking into buying their copy, and, you know, it's still a hot product right now.
Yeah, yeah.
The only advantage I can maybe see with going the route of maybe using Rhino still, or that faction of the record label to put the new album out, is that they do have I'm considering more funding, or let's say like promotion for, like, you know, advertisements and for online stuff. They might have more funds available to, or let's put it this way, more funds they'd be willing to spend than maybe a band would on its own, out of its own pocket, right? I mean, but it depends. I mean, it depends how they all view it. If they're looking at maybe printing, you know, 50,000 copies of the record and feel that they can push them themselves, then it might be in their own interest to release it themselves, because like many other bands have said before, I'd rather have 100% of 5,000 than 1% of a million. You know what I mean? Because the money is substantially more when you get to all of it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, if I had to make a guess, I would say that it probably will come out on Rhino, because they've done the two very recent ones, the Yes 50 Live and the Topographic Drama Live Across America, were both Rhino. And even, I say even, that's rather rude of me, isn't it? But ARW put out their live record on Eagle. So it is possible, and maybe it's more of a mass market and this. But in a way, I think this is a shame, though, that if you see from a page as a bit of a sort of niche product like Fly From Here, Return Trip. Fly From Here, Return Trip, very definitely niche, but I think this deserves to be more than niche, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. I think that it deserves to be viewed as a proper EP within the Yes canon, as it were, because these songs, like I've mentioned many times and you have as well in your piece, I mean, these songs are probably some of the strongest material that's come out of the Yes, you know, collective in a very, very long time. So to kind of not look at it on equal level is a crime.
Absolutely right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the music itself now. And I agreed with you, the piano playing is just wonderful. And that DNA that's clearly transferred itself, as we talked to Oliver about last week, the piano playing is great. But also those Moog solos. I mean, those are classic prog rock solos, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that made me smile initially. Like right from the very beginning of this, these four songs that we listened to, it's just unbelievable how much of his father's sort of style has come into his playing as well. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want to always make it sound like he sounds only like his father. He definitely has his own style in there, but you know, you can't help it. It's DNA. It's just how it works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people do things that are reflective of their family, right? But just unbelievable stuff. And I mean, I really love Oliver's selection of tones that he uses on this EP. Just the Moog sounds are just, I love them. They're just brilliant.
I agree. And presumably that's his, what did he call it? Little Fatty?
The Moog Little Fatty. Yeah.
Presumably that's at least in use, if not exclusive use on this album. So the songs are catchy. We both agreed that. I mean, I've been wandering around the house, as you have, humming in my head. You know, these songs are definite, as I said, earworms, very catchy. But this album, I mean, it's not Relayer, it's not Close to the Edge, it's not anything like that. Are they too immediately accessible? I did hear someone on social media saying, you know, they liked having to spend some time with Relayer and other albums, and this maybe is just too superficial, too immediately memorable.
I give that the big buzzer, the big no, the big X. No, I disagree. Because I'm a kind of person that kind of gets sick of songs quickly if they're of that style. And I have been listening to this pretty much nonstop. Like every day I've listened to these songs at least once or twice a day. Yeah. When I first got the packet, I was listening to it several times a day. I really enjoyed it. And I'm not sick of it in the slightest. I mean, to me, what makes this really like alluring for me as a listener is the fact that the production of this is so well done. Mm. I mean, everything about it sounds fantastic. The drums sound good. Steve Howe's guitars have never sounded better recorded wise. You know, the drums are fantastic and powerful. Chris Squire's bass, I love the sound of his bass guitar on these songs. I mean, and Benoit's vocals, I mean, come on. Like they sound incredible on this album, much better than Fly From Here. And, you know, I can't speak highly enough of how this album turned out. And I mean, there's nothing about it that I've gotten tired of. And why do you have to have everything so complicated to enjoy it? I mean, is that really a sign of a good song that you have to be, you know, knocking your head against the table the first couple of listens to get it through? I mean, I don't think that's the sign of a good song. Sure, don't get me wrong, I love Gates of Delirium and Close to the Edge, and yes, they took a couple of listens to get into, but that doesn't mean that they're any necessarily better, because that's how long it took me to get into it. You know?
Yeah, I I tend to agree with you. Well, if you've heard me, there are very few aspects of Yes music throughout the entire 50 odd years that I don't like. There are one or two bits, but generally I'm a fan of the vast, vast majority of it. And like you, I'm a fan of this album as well. And interesting, you're saying about Squire. Well, you're saying that everyone does a great job on this, and I think that's right. And some very nice Squire, thoughtful and not sort of blistering Squire stuff, but absolutely right for this music. And Miguel Falcao, our friend, is pleased with what Squire brought to this, and frankly, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, he is kind of the Chris Squire authority on the internet right now as far as his playing and his sounds and stuff. And I got to agree, because, you know, some of the lines that he has on these songs, you know, they're not like, you know, Sound Chaser or something like that, but they're definitely melodic, well thought yep. out, memorable. And that's always something that Chris Squire bass lines have been, is that you can kind of hum those individually to yourself and, you know right away what, you know, like if I was to come up to you and start humming a bass line from, you know, Heart of the Sunrise, you would probably know immediately what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. But just going back also to the feel of this and the sort of band feel of this, and, you know, and I know people get annoyed when you start comparing albums with each other, but I did feel that this album has a lovely, collaborative, happy feel to it, positive feel to it, whereas something like Heaven and Earth, for whatever reason, feels like a bit more of a struggle. Did you feel that?
Oh, definitely. I definitely feel the connection with them on this. I mean, Oliver went further to even like confirm that they were at a good place at that time, that they were all getting along, staying in the same house in Arizona and, you know, writing songs together. And that's kind of interesting, because when you just mentioned that, I remember saying in my piece at the end that a couple of these songs, which I believe was Words on a Page and even From the Turn of a Card, I kind of thought that if this was a different time period, these songs could have easily have fit on something like Going for the One, which also was a sort of rejoiceful, happy album where they all got back together with Rick again.
Yes, absolutely. It's fascinating that, I mean, everyone's going to notice, of course, that From the Turn of a Card, that very, very different tone and style of singing that that Benoit David comes up with there. But it's not unattractive, is it? And I liked the way you talked about it. And a sort of weird parallel for me is something like Madrigal on Tomato. And not in the vocals, of course, because you've got John on Madrigal and on the rest of the album, and it sounds like John. And John sounds like John. That's what happens. But Madrigal, in terms of its harpsichord and other arrangement and so on, is very different from everything else on that album. And here we have a song which is very different because of the different vocal approach to it. And I think I don't think that's a bad thing, is it?
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't understand that, you know, that viewpoint from people if they've brought it up. I haven't heard too many people complain about it, to be honest. But I think it's a good thing. And I'm going to still hold firm on my belief that I think Benoit should have utilized this voice more, even in the Yes stuff, because I think that it's a great sounding tone of voice. It fits the song absolutely perfectly. And who's to say that you can't use that voice and then integrate it with the other, you know, more John Anderson-ish voice, I guess you would compare it to, or Trevor Horn-ish voice, and, you know, use them together. It's like a guitar player, you know, sometimes you turn on a flanger and sometimes you turn it off. You know what I mean? It's different sounds for different situations, and singers can do that. Sometimes a singer can sing really raspy. Sometimes he can clean up his voice. Sometimes he can sing really high. Sometimes he can sing really low. Just use the voice. And you know what? I'm still a firm believer in this. If he would have used that tone of voice a little bit more on songs, I think that he would have saved his voice.
Absolutely. And gone on to do a lot more, possibly, with the band. There are so many occasions in the history of Yes where you can say, what if? But isn't it wonderful that we now have this? And I'm just so, so thankful to Oliver and to Alan and to Steve, who agreed and were keen to have this released, and to the management company and everyone else who's been involved with it, because it really would have been terrible that this material was lost, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think that Steve a lot of the time gets some negative opinions on being maybe a little bit of a hard to deal with person and stuff like that. But I think that this situation here definitely deserves a round of applause to Steve, because he could have easily have said, no, we're working on something new. Let's not look backwards. Let's go forward. You know, this is something that was long in the past. But for him to say, you know what, it's good material. I like it. And maybe it was an injustice that it didn't come out. Let's put it out. Congratulations, Steve. My hat's off to you.
Absolutely. I think there's nothing, for me, there's nothing negative about this at all. It's all great. One thing before we finish, though, and go on to something slightly different, well, related but slightly different, is I had to look up Dobro. So you said in your piece that Steve uses a Dobro. Now, for those of us like me who haven't a clue what this is, tell us all about a Dobro.
Well, a Dobro guitar is one of those kind of guitars that are related to the acoustic guitar, but it's kind of all steel, right? The whole body of it's kind of made steel. And if you watch the Yes Acoustic DVD, there's a song where Steve has like a guitar lying on his lap.
Yes.
And he's playing the slide on top that way. The Dobro's kind of played that way. It's like a steel guitar but it looks like an acoustic guitar, but it's all steel. And it has a definite, distinct kind of like Deep South Mississippi sound to it when you play it.
Yeah. Can you also play it in a sort of classic guitar fashion as well?
Yeah, sure you could. I mean, lots of people play it upright, like normally, but it's normally 9 times out of 10 people play slide with it.
Right. Okay. And that gives an extra. Do you know what else Steve's used that on?
I know that he's used it on his solo stuff, like when you listen to I forget the name of that song where he has that video where there's like 7 versions of them on the screen.
Yes, another one.
I believe that there's a Dobro on that as well. But you can definitely hear it. It definitely has that kind of like dee, dee, dee. It sounds like, you know, like you can envision a grandma and grandpa on the bench or on their rocking chair, you know, in the Deep South, you know, grandpa with the straw in his mouth and he's rocking back and forth with the Dobro playing and grandma's there, you know, knitting, you know. It's that kind of like sound, you know, like the Deep South.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I will listen out for that when I listen to these songs again, and like you, I just wish there were more, you know, that it was a longer album, but just absolutely love it and so happy that it's part of the official canon now. And as I said, something allied, we have a copy, as you know from last week, if you read the show notes, that is, we have a copy of the mini box set to give away. And just I need to take a moment though to talk to you very briefly about this production. And I mentioned it earlier, it's a beautiful glossy box and it sits up rather nicely on my shelf next to the other Yes material. It's got this wonderful Roger Dean artwork, but the feel of the whole box and everything is really high quality as well. And when you look inside, you've got a proper set of sleeve notes from a page, but of course this also a booklet, but this also of course has the CD obviously in another little case, and then you've got 2 more discs and an expanded version of the Live from Lyon booklet as well. Some really nice photographs in there of the band playing at this point, and then 2 discs of that Live in Lyon that we both really like. So it's actually a really, really top quality piece of production, isn't it?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this and I was very impressed. One thing that I was happy about that they did, which, you know, this is like kind of a small nitpick thing, but I've always loved those kind of clamshell cases like they did with here, how they kind of open sideways from the top.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes people do the boxes where they're just like lids and you just take it off and on. But I kind of like this version where it's all connected together and, you know, it's just a simple, you know, flip open to the side kind of thing. I've always liked that kind of style of boxes better than the just separate lid.
Yeah. It's really nice and it sits in your hand beautifully. Anyway, so I've got a copy of this that the publicity company very kindly, Sharon there, sent to me to give away on the show. Just bumped my microphone with it. That's good. So it's a shrink-wrapped copy. It's absolutely brand new. And we have some entrants. And what we're going to do is, as we usually do, I'm going to get I'm going to get Mark to suggest a Yes album, and whatever number that is in the chronology of Yes albums, I'll count down the list and see who's won this brilliant package. So, with a proper reason, please, Mark, which album are you going for? Studio album I'm talking about today.
Yes, and it's ironic that we were doing this. I didn't know that we were doing this, but here's the great thing about that is that just the other day, I was talking with a good friend and, you know, friend of the show, Jeff Bailey.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he was talking about some studio records, Yes ones, and thinking about maybe getting some stuff on vinyl, and asked my opinion on a few of them. Mm-hmm. And the record that I recommended to him that was out of his collection that he was looking into getting was Open Your Eyes.
Oh, controversial. Yes, one of your favorites, actually, isn't it? You really like that. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Right, let me just go and see who's won then. So yes, Open Your Eyes is, officially speaking, the 17th studio album, if you include Keys to Ascension as two, so Keys to Ascension 1 and 2, so that's that's how I'm doing it, okay?
Okay.
So that means we choose at random the 17th person, and that was Steve Raw. So well done, Steve. I'll be sending that to you. That's fantastic, Steve, someone who's supported the podcast for many years, so that's brilliant that he gets his hands on a free copy of this package. All right, so fantastic. What a great time to be a Yes fan, and we're just looking forward now. We have on very good authority from people who are very close to the band that they are definitely working on this album to be released next summer. So, I can't believe how many really exciting things we've got in Yes World at the moment.
Yes, it's almost too good to believe, eh? That's happening. There's always comes that point where you get into a little bit of a lull where you're wondering if anything is going to happen besides a tour. But now we have tours coming up. We have this new release that came up. Now we're expecting another release to come. I mean, geez. I mean, what more could we ask for?
Absolutely. It reminds me of the first time I ever went to yesworld.com, and on the front page of it, it said, Yes is currently on hiatus.
Oh, it must have been a real downer there.
That was a real downer, yes. All right, well, fantastic stuff. And thank you again to everyone involved with From a Page, especially Oliver, who came on last week and spoke to us so engagingly and so generously. All right, so thank you very much indeed, Mark, and I will speak to you next week.
All right, have a good day.
Olá, sou o Miguel Falcão, de Coimbra, Portugal. Estão a ouvir o Yes Music Podcast.
Just before we go, here's a patron update. Or half of it. The Yes Music Podcast producers are Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier and Wayne Hall. And Yes Music Podcast patrons are Aaron Steelman, Bob Martellotta, Brian Sullivan, Chris Bandini, Craig Estenes, Dave Owen, David Hayden, Lind, David Pannell, Dave Watkinson, Dem, Doug Curran, Fergus Cubbage, Fred Barringer, Jeff Bailey, Jeffrey Mason, Guy Jerome, Henrik Antonsen, H.B. Peterson, Ian N.B., Jamie McQuinn, Ken Fuller, Jeremy North, Jim, John Cowan, John Holden, John Parry, John Thompson, and Barry Gorski. Also continued thanks to Robert and David. So thank you very much indeed, as always, to those patrons. If you'd like to join them to help support the show financially, then just go to Patreon, patreon.com/YesMusicPodcast, or click the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. So that's just about all the time we have this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. I hope we'll be back next week with some more Yes goodness, so please do stay tuned for that. In the meantime, please do follow the show on Facebook, on Twitter, or on Instagram. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.